This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Who wants to play a game?
It's time for hide and seek.
Is this hide and seek? Are we really going to play that?
What's going on here?
This is the emergency broadcast system.
It is intended for mature audiences.
Right, for real.
Now, a warning.
You're with the Sexperts. Hide and seek on Joy.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
Yes, you certainly are. You're with the Sexperts here on Joy 94.9. I'm Tim Little and I'm joined by John Cock. Hello.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm very well. But you know how you have those moments, John, when you put the puppy chain on and you can't find the key to it?
Oh.
I had that moment over the weekend.
Okay.
And my fiance's mother said, oh, you have a nice chain there. Because I couldn't actually get it off because I had lost the key. Thankfully, temporarily, I actually found it in my car later on.
So, hide and seek safety tip of the week. Always make sure that you've got a spare key to whatever you lock yourself in with.
Yes. Unless you want to go to Bunnings and ask them for a hacksaw.
I actually have a battery-operated Dremel.
Oh, yes. That's good to know if I ever get in a pinch.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many times it has had to be used for, shall we say, recreational purposes.
And for more tips and tricks, please go to joy.org.au/hide-and-seek. I'm sure there's a show on this somewhere.
Yeah.
Dungeon Safety Tips, I think it was called.
Just the tip?
Indeed. Well, someone may have been working the dungeons over in the US. We've got Down Under Bri in the studio. Hello, hello. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
What have you been up to since we last had you here?
What have I been up to? Well, I guess since the content creation panel, I've tried to level up my content creation game by doing a lot of collaborations with other people, learning best practice, and then decided to invest to go overseas to the US, specifically to the Just for Fans 6th Anniversary Conference.
Wow.
Very exciting.
Can you paint a picture for us? What does this thing look like? So you fund it yourself. You go over there and everyone is a content creator. So everyone is pretty.
Well, everyone is pretty in everyone's eyes, Tim. You've got to remember that. the idea that the conference itself was only 3 days out of my 2-week stint over there. So it really is kind of like any kind of conference that you would have, like any kind of business conference where, you know, you have people checking in, then you have different panels, you have meet and greet sessions, and you have, you know, networking sessions, really.
Wow. So you have like plenary sessions and all of that sort of jazz.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay. Was there a keynote speaker?
Was there a keynote? Actually, there really wasn't. But there was, I mean, there were panels of expertise and everything like that, but not necessarily a keynote. Not really like one of those, you know, where they have those sort of, fancy sort of people. I guess in a way the keynote speaker was, you know, organizer Dominic Ford. He definitely is, you know, he's an ex-porn star and is the creator CEO of Just for Fans. So he definitely was a great representation there.
So it was a content creators conference or an OnlyFans or a Just for Fans conference?
Specifically Just for Fans. Was a Just for Fans sponsored event specifically for creators that are on Just for Fans. Not all of them are exclusive though. So there are quite a lot of them that are specifically only Just for Fans exclusives.
Yes.
But a lot of us, like myself, try to get their fingers and other appendages in pies wherever they can.
Multi-platform.
Exactly
right. Was there an after party, Bri?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I just have this image of a giant orgy, really.
It's
that
more
wasn't
than
after, was it?
It wasn't even after. It was literally during. I mean, during. Like it, we're definitely going to go through the whole event of what's actually going to be happening. Don't you worry.
We want to hear minute by minute. Yes. And whereabouts was it in the US?
It was based in Palm Springs this year at a lovely hotel there called Hotel Zozo. And it was definitely a level up from last year. I didn't go last year, but I did see a lot of imagery. They held it at one of the clothing optional resorts, but also had one of the local bars hold the actual conference events. Whereas this time it was actually at a legitimate hotel that, you know, you walked in and go, wow, we're actually legitimately here somewhere.
So you had to wear clothes.
Yes, it was. It wasn't big enough for us to hire out the whole venue. Yes. But that's definitely on Dominic's list. So the bigger the actual conference gets, the more we can actually like leverage against the hotels we're going to be going at. So he's already got plans next year to try and get as many contents credit we can to actually book out the whole hotel.
Wow.
And so when you were talking earlier, you mentioned networking is one of the big things.
Yep.
So what is it like networking with content creators?
Do you just pull your pants down and go, hi?
No, it is definitely the meet and greet situation. So what we started with is, before the event even occurred, about 2 months beforehand, one of the creators, Mr. Archangel, created a Telegram group and invited everyone that actually RSVP to say that they were going to this Telegram group. And that was a great way to start introducing yourself to people, to say where you're from, what you're into, what you're looking for. And that's also a good way to start actually booking in, booking in sessions with people.
Right.
So that's how I started by, you know, also because I'm coming from a very foreign land, I've got to make sure that it's worth my investment going over there. So that was that was really the start of it, was the online networking to actually meet people, to find out what they're doing. It also gives you a good insight to see other creators and what they're up to, what sort of level they are at. And there's definitely is a broad level of creators there, from people who literally just got verified on Just the Fans to people that have, 350,000 Twitter followers, and are doing this as a full-time job as well. So definitely the gambit of people there.
So what specifically were you going there to learn? You mentioned a few things there, like marketing and that sort of thing. Were there any specific things that you thought, hey, I really want to get this out of the conference?
Yep. Me personally, it was all about finding out whether am I on the right path? Am I doing the right things? In all walks of life for me, I'm all about best practice. No matter what it is, whether it be professional of my standard everyday job, whether it be, life in general, I'm all about best practice. So part of it personally was me going, am I doing the right things? And thankfully, I am. It turns out that I am doing everything that all the other content creators are doing, no matter what level they are at.
Great.
I'm having the same issues. I'm having the same successes and failures. So, it was definitely something good for me to see that I'm on the right path. But at the same time, yes, if you are a brand new content creator, there is definitely some good 101 classes that you can go to find out if you are, how to start out as well, and what to do too.
And you mentioned there was the whole gamut of people there. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the diversity that was present.
Yes.
I remember you did a review video on YouTube about this.
Yes.
So you mentioned that there were a lot of different body types present.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the thing is, a lot of people think that content creation, in order to do it, you have to have this muscle god Zeus Hercules body out there. And look, there's definitely a lot of people out there. And I'm not saying that, I am saying that, yes, those people are popular. They are considered mainstream and are often the ones getting a lot of money. But there are plenty of people out there with a diverse range of bodies, both colored and size, that are making just as much profit from this as well. So there were people that are, the standard little skinny twinks that are out there, to these wonderfully husky men that are giving that full daddy vibe that you want, and everything in between. So no matter what your genre, there are people there. I will say itself that there are probably more male presenting people within Just for Fans at the moment. And I'm not saying that that is a flaw with the website. I think it just comes down to the people that have decided to put their platform out there on Just for Fans. We know that the other platforms like OnlyFans are a lot more female heavy as well. So that's something that I think that, you know, we definitely require in Just for Fans, or we should be having as well. So if you are a female presenting content creator out there, don't be afraid to join Just for Fans, because there are just as many followers that you'll get out there as well. And as well as there's plenty of trans people there too. So both trans mask and trans femme people are also represented there. We had some wonderful trans mask people attending there. And it would be great to see some trans femme people attending the conference as well.
So speaking of only flans,
yes,
I saw John have a little bit of a chuckle there, and I may have been doing the same. You mentioned different genres. Were there any genres where you met someone and went, wow, that's a really cool idea, or that was a bit quirky?
Absolutely. There are, unfortunately, I don't actually know her name, but there was a femme dom, lovely lady there that literally sells her farts. She literally records her farts and then sells them. So I believe that, yeah, her family now know that the moment she gets her phone out, they all have to stand away because they know that she's going to rip one out there.
My fiancé would make so much money.
Exactly. You would be surprised, apparently, how much money these people make by selling their farts.
Does she have a unique smell? What is it about her farts?
It's the sounds.
Oh, it's all the blah,
blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of like pornographic ASMR.
I think by the sounds of it, it is. So that is probably one of the most unique things.
Interesting.
Personally, from a genre point of view, I consider myself French vanilla at best. So although, you know, I am suited to both channels of OnlyFans and Just for Fans, Just for Fans definitely have a lot broader sense of what they allow on the platforms. Mm. And it actually mainly comes down to where the actual platforms are based. Just for Fans are based in US, whereas OnlyFans is based in UK. Yes. So they have to abide by the local laws of what they can do.
Sure.
To quote Ed the Mode, no gapes is pretty much what I say when it comes to the difference between the two. So Just for Fans,
No fisting.
Mm-hmm. So for example, Just for Fans allows fisting.
Yes.
Just for Fans allows piss play. Just for Fans allows bondage. Just for Fans allows risky outdoor play.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, OnlyFans doesn't allow any of that.
Right.
So if you are into the more kinky side of things, Just for Fans is the better platform to go for. If you want just the standard, I'm going to whip my dick out and that's it, then yeah, OnlyFans is the way to go.
Go for the vanilla.
Well, I think that's also potentially a reason why there is a lot less women on Just for Fans, is that there's a lot more of a market for more vanilla female porn. So
absolutely,
there hasn't been as much need for people to branch out.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. I completely agree.
Mm. And was there a bit of an Aussie contingent over there? I know a few guys who went for the journey.
There was actually only two Aussies that I was aware of.
Oh,
there
right.
was myself and there was Dan Down Under.
Oh, cool.
Shout out to him. He's always
on a
good
worldwide
fun.
Tour at yes. the moment.
Exactly right. It was great to see. It was great to meet him because he and I actually, I pretty much started his content creation game while over there. So it was really good to meet up with him and he was very, very welcoming.
He's so great. I may have done some content myself with that.
Oh,
man.
He's very popular.
I may have done some off the books. So, look, tell us more about the conference itself.
Yeah.
So, what happened?
We want the juice.
You want the juice. Well, we all got the juice, I think, really. So, look.
Shocking.
It is actually a conference. So, in order to have a conference, you need to have, you know, meet and greet parties. You need to have actual panels. And you need to come away learning things as well. Yeah. So, how it started is a basic meet and greet pool party. So, we were all asked to meet by the pool. We were all in our lovely Speedos. It was a wonderful day. And it actually made it a perfect, relaxed environment in order to meet all these content creators. Some people that you're already talking to online, and some people that you saw that were on the RSVP page but never got around to actually connecting to. So it was a wonderful introduction in a very relaxed environment to meet them.
Were people actually in the pool?
Yeah, people went in the pool, of course. Yeah, it was actually a really quite warm pool. It was also a perfect opportunity to begin sort of, you know, testing the water. So I was like getting all these different photos with different people because I'm like, hey, I finally met you. It was great to see you. Pop it on your Instagram story. Get the vibe going is what you really wanted to do. Then later that evening, you were talking about the after party. Now, it wasn't an after party. This was the party.
Right.
They actually had a specific warehouse event. And the idea of it literally was for lack of a better word, it was an orgy,
yep.
but pretty much filmed. So the idea is
like
that...
Like what you do.
It's pretty much what we do.
Yes.
So what we had is you had a lovely event space that was decked out by the local sex shops there. They had like 8 different slings. They had hobby horses. They had a stage. They had a St. Andrew's cross there as well.
Wonderful.
And excellent. Literally all you did is you would be connecting with someone. You might have already pre-planned to do it, or you might have just worked out on the night where you would say, hey, I would like to do some filming with you. And then you would start playing around, and then you might have one of your other content creator friends hold the camera for you.
Right.
We did
or
have...
Or hold something else.
Or hold something else. Yeah. Or join in.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We had some official photographers that took some more broader shots about the actual thing. But most of the time, you were filming yourself. So this is where, I guess, my lovely office management frame of mind got into it. So I made sure I took a list of everyone that I was actually filming with and also who filmed it as well. So either to contact the person, but also to know who I'm filming. We still have people in the group chat going, hey, does anyone know whose dick this was that I was sucking? You know, sort of thing. So it's still happening there as well. Yeah.
So do you have exactly. to fill out those consent forms, or that's just assumed?
Well, within the actual party itself, that is something that they're going to be working on next year, is to make sure there is an official consent form for the specific party.
Yeah.
But because you are verified on JustaFans, this was for a verified only model party event.
Yes.
So you had to be verified on JustaFans in order to attend this event, because otherwise you're not consented to be filmed.
Right.
So that's okay. that was the first bit to make sure. But we know that the panel we're going to talk about soon is next year we will ensure that there is an official compliant model release form for specifically for this event as well.
Right.
So in the end, with this particular warehouse party, I had maybe 25 minutes worth of films, and I had maybe 5 different scenes. And it was just some basic fucking. The good thing was it was a great vibe of having, you know, here you are getting fucked on a sling, and then you've got, you know, 5 other couples behind you getting fucked as well, or you had a row of sling fuck. It was really great. Some people went really far by actually bringing their own lights, bringing their own tripods, etc. Zed, for example, he bought like a blue and a red, looked like a little lightsabers, and he had that framed in his sling,
cool.
And it looked absolutely amazing.
How did you kind of, if there's sex happening everywhere and yep. people to have specific shoots, mm-hmm. how did you say, this is my section and I'm doing a shoot now? Was that hard to navigate?
I don't think people were really doing that. I think a lot of people were conscious about what was going on. They saw lights, they saw films, they saw things happening. Mm. And I think I don't think people minded that much that there were people standing around looking in the background about what's going on.
Yeah.
I know I looked at a lot of films, you know. Yeah.
Well, because I've seen some of the content that came out of the Darklands event mm-hmm. in Antwerp.
Mm.
And there were a number of things where it did actually happen, like... in the vendor area or mm-hmm. In the more publicly accessible areas. And it's focused on the people who are actually performing or creating content,
yep.
but there were other people visible who were there watching.
Absolutely. Mm.
And I guess it's one of those things where if it's clear that the people have got the capacity to go, oh, I'm not going to be in this,
yep.
then...
They just
I
walk
think
away.
That's fine.
Yeah, simple as that.
And would you say the main demographic of the party was men?
Yes. So yeah. this was pretty much a male
identifying
party.
Party.
So,
yes.
And I think that again that reflects on the attendance were there is that most of them were male identifying at that event.
Yes.
I think there were a couple of the women did attend.
Yep.
But I don't believe I saw any of them actually filming. I think they were more just there from an attendance point of view.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Dinner and a show.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And did you get involved in anything that you'd always been wanting to do and maybe hadn't tried before?
Yes. So I used the St. Andrew's Cross for the first time. So that was fun to film with Danny Wilcox. We did that pretty much right near the start. It was good to sort of fuck someone against the St. Andrew's Cross. I really
yes.
enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to film fucking 2 twinks, which I don't think I've done a double twink bottom situation before, so that was fun to do.
So a DP or not a DP?
No, as in like sort of, yeah, I've never really sort of handled 2 bottoms at once before.
Right.
So that was sort of, you know, fun
juggling.
To do as well. Yeah,
juggling.
Exactly right. Exactly right, yeah. So you had the warehouse party on that night, and then the next day you had the official panels. So there was four panels on that particular day. These were the official, like, lectern situations, PowerPoint presentation type panels that we had there as well. Mm-hmm. First one was on compliance, and that was all about making sure that you had the correct forms when you're actually filming. So that actually kind of educated but also frustrated a few people to understand that there's specific requirements that you do need.
Yes.
Thankfully, Just for Fans will post all these panels there on their Just for Fans websites. And this specific one is talking about making sure you have model release forms and also the proof of age forms, which also need to be separate as a simple thing. The next one was all about taxes. Now, I actually didn't go to that one because it's technically US taxes. So it's not really for me. But I will know that it did actually prompt me to actually book in a tax accountant consultation to make sure that I'm doing my taxes right as well.
Yes.
Then you also had a Q&A where we actually had Dominic, Alice and Jeremy, who are the main creators of Just for Fans and the support staff. And we were able to actually ask them particular questions about the site.
Did you get to ask any questions?
I ended up sort of pulling back a little bit and I sort of went, oh, look, I'm just going to see what everyone else asks. And in the end, a few of the questions that I kind of had, they were already answered anyway, which was great.
Yeah.
And there was also actual Q&A where it was a bit of a open discussion with everyone. So it was like we might have some newer creators ask, okay, how do I get my name out there? What should I be doing in order to do it? And then you had some of the larger top tier creators giving advice on that. For example, one question was, how do I get started? And it literally was one of the big top tier creators said, show your personality. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
One of the guys, I think Ray Dalton, I think it was, said, I don't have two personalities. I just have one. What you see in person is what you see online. Yep. And that's, I think, great advice. You don't have to have these split personality personas if you don't want to.
But he also came from porn as well, Ray Dalton.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. So, you know, those sort of things is what became. And I believe there is actually video on this as well. And then the last panel was a product teaser. Now, unfortunately, I can't specifically talk about the product teaser at the moment, but I do know that...
They're coming soon.
It's coming soon, literally. Dominic is creating a new product for Just for Fans to help in regards to a few frustrations that are on the current website. Mm-hmm. So that'll be hoping released in about 4 months or so. That will hopefully bring, I guess, a new sort of flavor to Just for Fans as well.
Great.
So then the next day we had a bar party at one of the local bars, Hunters, which is kind of a circuity sort of vibe, you could say. Yeah. And it was literally just one way for us to let our hair down. So it was actually like just a good, fun dance vibe, which I really liked, except for when someone decided to drop the poppers on the floor accidentally. So that literally was murder on the dance floor.
Oh.
So I feel sorry for it. Especially
people passed out. Exactly right.
And especially it was specific Just for Fans poppers as well. So we actually got Just for Fans merch, which was great. So overall, we actually, as part of the conference, we didn't have to pay for anything to be at the conference itself. We just had to pay our own sort of like hotel fees, etc.
Right. Okay.
So as part of that, we got a free swag bag as well, which had a whole bunch of Just for Fans merchandise in there, which I really liked.
Cute.
So for example, we had like a hat, we got a little bum bag, we got a little fan that like you push the button and it actually, an LED fan would light up saying Just for Fans.
Oh, right.
Things like that. Really cool. And of course, Just for Fans poppers.
Look, speaking of dropping the poppers, okay, so that actually did happen to me one time.
Yes.
I was on my way back from Mardi Gras one year and I've actually dropped a bottle of poppers at the airport.
Oh,
no. But it fell out of my bag.
The condensation.
That's a way to get the dogs about.
It's just, I've basically just tried to completely deadpan it. And fortunately, everyone in front of and behind me was also queer. And the person who was at the check-in gate is just there going. But yeah.
And then everyone was quite amorous afterwards, presumably, on the flight.
Caring.
As a cut person, as a mother.
Informative.
And you're like... One arm sticking out of a bush.
Topical.
It's amazing what you can do with a pervert and 3D printer these days.
Supportive.
My God, you are trash. You are such trash, Kim.
Quality content.
Just have this image now, John, of someone riding you. I'm sorry.
You'll get none of it. Join the Sexperts for Hide and Seek Tuesdays 10 p.m. and subscribe to the podcast on your favourite podcast app.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. You're with Tim and John tonight. Sans Michael, he's not about tonight.
No.
But we wish to have him in very, very soon.
Does Michael listen to this like when he's not on, or is he just like, I don't care, I'm not involved?
Oh, look, I'm sure he pays attention to us sometimes.
Yeah. I know. Should
maybe put like a little secret code word in right now. So next time he sees you, he has to say tacos. And that shows, because this is like right in the middle, right? So yep, that shows that he's listened to the episode, okay? So Michael, okay, your keyword is tacos.
Tacos, oh, there you go. And of course, we are joined by Down Under Bri. He's just been to the States to a Just for Fans conference, which sounds absolutely incredible.
Tell us more about the conference itself.
Yeah, look, there definitely was a lot of content over there. So I ended up creating, I think, 28 scenes in the end over the space of 2 weeks.
Wow.
That's a lot of jizz.
Yeah, so the conference itself was only 3 days, but I ended up staying at LA for the first week and then Palm Springs for the second week.
Yep.
And was able to book in quite a lot of content over there.
Can I ask something? You're a top. Yep. 100%.
Well, actually, top verse now. Obviously, I need to work on my marketing team if you don't realize that I am now top verse.
Right. Yes. And would you say most of it was top content?
Over there, most of it was top content because when I booked it last, like when I started booking people last year, I was the top.
Yeah.
And as of 2024, I am now verse.
Wow.
But I had the fortune of, bottoming a few times while over there as well on film.
Wow. So did you ever get to a point where you're like, I just have no more juice left?
No, because I know that shooting is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes.
So I do know how to take my time and I do know how to make sure that I give myself enough rest time between scenes.
Yes.
To make sure that, you know, you get what you need out of it as well. So part of it is making sure, like, again, as RuPaul would say, use what you're good at and apply to the challenge. I am good at spreadsheets. I'm good at calendar management. So I know that, like, going into it, I had a whole list of when the collabs are going to happen. I literally put myself in time slots.
Yes.
And then I actually said to people, this is my availability. And I said, okay, I'm available morning, afternoon, or evening on a particular day. And I would give them like four options and you pick one. Right, you lock that in. That's all ticked off. Mm-hmm. So I can no longer book that in.
Yeah. So it was kind of like being the reverse Energizer Bunny. You just keep coming in, coming in, coming in.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right.
I just have this interpretation, because it was in Palm Springs, of all these content creators just like in random places, like in the street.
No.
No?
No. Look, I mean, maybe some of the more risque people may have done some more street photography and that sort of stuff.
Yes.
I've yet to see that. Although I do know that I did film a cheeky me walking back to my hotel room nude in the hallway.
That
was just a fun little thing. It was like 3 a.m. at night. I was like, look, just quickly film this 30 seconds of me walking back to my hotel room.
Yes.
So, but I don't think there was anyone doing anything majorly risque. We've got to also remember that we weren't the only ones in the hotel. There were, you know, some families were in the hotel as well. So we need to make sure we have a little level of decorum there as well. But I guess that's also why they're trying to look at having the hotel booked out completely by creators only.
Yeah,
to make it a bit more relaxed as well. It's like going on like the Atlantis cruises, for example, where it's just, you know what you're there for example.
Rather than a P&O cruise.
Or the hotel for IML kind of thing.
Exactly right. Exactly right. That's sort of what you'll look for.
Rather than a P&O cruise.
So, yeah. So, all the networking and the sessions do happen within, like, within certain time limits of, like, the panels, for example. So, for example, because I didn't attend the tax panel, I knew I had a slot that I could actually, you know, book a film in there. So, I booked a film in there in between times as well. There was also after the warehouse party, you know, I sort of had a second win. So I ended up going on Sniffies of all places and actually found that it was another content creator in the hotel. And we ended up doing a film as well. So those sort of things all happened throughout the conference. But then also the week beforehand and then the 3 days after that I was there, I had a whole bunch of content sessions booked in a variety of ways. The fun part really is coming up with different ways to do the films.
Yes.
I know that the good thing is it's a different location, so it's not just my basic room that I'm always shooting in. So therefore, straight away, that's something different. But it's also thinking about, okay, different angles that you could do, different scenarios you could do.
How can I make it unique?
Exactly right. Mm. So I made sure that when I literally, one of the things I did when I got into my hotel room, I thought, okay, well, how many different ways can I shoot in this place?
Yes.
Like it had a lovely sort of couch with a ottoman that I made sure we filmed on that. We had, you know, a bed. I checked the bathroom. The bathroom was great because it had like a shower curtain rather than a glass.
It
didn't reflect the light, for example. So I made sure that I utilized the room, you know, thinking really like a video producer. You've got to think about how different ways you can
put a
do
ring
it.
Light in there.
Exactly. Do you think that that was actually a consideration when they were thinking about the venue was, okay, do all of the hotel rooms look the same?
And do they have douche facilities?
Well, I don't think they had douche facilities, but I think that literally I think someone in the chat group said, can you bring a spanner because I want to put the attachment on there. And that's the joys, you know, although we didn't have lesbians in the group, we definitely had some really tool
resourceful.
Friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gays who knew their way around tools, I guess, as well.
Industrious.
Yeah. And then thankfully I did also different hotels as well. So in LA it was one hotel that I had. It had this lovely art piece that I wanted to be featured that also had the bedroom I used as well. So, and then I was in Hotel Zozo over for the Just for Fans conference, and then I went to All Worlds, which is a gay clothing optional resort, and I utilized a lot of that. I utilized the room. There's an outdoor maze they have there, so I actually shot in the daytime there.
Wow.
You're just all about, you know, utilizing what you've got.
Actually, it's funny. My last time going overseas, I was over at the Folsom Street Fair in San Francisco. After we stayed at this one particular hotel nearby, and I'm there in the room and I'm going, God, this place looks familiar. Turns out I'd actually seen it in a porn.
Ah, perfect. Yes. And look, it is very interesting to see how people were utilizing the hotel rooms. Now that I'm seeing a lot of the content coming through.
Yes.
A lot of people were just fucking on the bed. That's fine. Mm. But also, you know, you had a few people actually utilizing the balconies that we had too. I'm hoping that people will go, oh, okay, good work, Bri. You actually did use the right areas. I haven't seen anyone use the bathrooms yet.
Yeah.
And I've got a wonderful bathroom scene that I'm working with Brad Party.
Awesome.
Wonderful transmess person. We ended up doing a bathroom scene, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out.
And were there any people that you shot with that you were super excited about meeting and were kind of like, wow, I can't wait for this shoot?
I know that as I learned from Teddy Wilder, where he says that if you have favorites, it means that it lessens the other people. So I didn't really have any favorites, but I definitely had some, like, it was great to meet some really top tier creators that are out there as well. So it was great to see people that had, you know, 300,000 to 400,000 followers on Twitter. You know, it was great to see that they were supporting people that had, you know, had literally just started. So that was really good to see as well. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily say I had any favorites, but I had some, you know, some great moments with people, and I had some great connections that I know.
Yes.
For example, in LA, I was introduced to a guy named the Masseur Daddy, and he was a wonderful connection to make. We had a wonderful massage film, and then he literally just took me out to the LA Strip to sort of introduce me to LA, which was wonderful.
Cool.
We ended up getting on really well. He ended up filming four of my scenes while over in Palm Springs as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And was also fortunate enough to be also a photographer. So he ended up taking some pictures while I stayed at the Trixie Motel.
Right.
Which I was very,
I've heard
very
about
happy.
That place so much.
It's very much for the gram. So I wanted to make sure that I had someone that was really good at taking photos, and I saw his work and I was like, absolutely, can you please, you know, come and do that with me?
Tell us about the Trixie Motel. You're saying it's very much for the gram.
Yes.
I'm picturing something like Pink or something.
Well, I mean, firstly, Trixie Motel, there is actually a TV series for it, available in Australia on Binge. So I would recommend watching it. It's literally a renovation show about her renovating the entire hotel, plus with her partner, David. And each room actually has a different theme as well. So each room has their own name. I was in what's called the Atomic Bombshell, which was like a blue, it was like a blue UFO sort of
It was a bombshell.
Vibe. Yeah, exactly right. Like, so have a look at my Instagram page and you can sort of see. I wanted to make sure that I had some photos that showcased the room, not just me.
Down Under Bri.
Down Under Bri on all the platforms. So I believe that, you know, Trixie Motel, it definitely is for the gram. It's definitely a visual hotel. It's all about literally people taking those, you know, influencer photos. And I made sure that I did that because I'm like, well, what? When in
Might
Rome.
As well.
When in Rome, just do that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So tell me, with some of the other creators that you were interacting with, were there any moments that really surprised you? Like, people who, like, were super shy that you weren't expecting or anything like that?
Yes, definitely. There was a moment when, during the warehouse party, I actually got in my head a little bit. Thankfully, my body dysmorphia was at an all-time low, but my imposter syndrome got me. And I saw some of what I would consider a top-tier creators playing with other top-tier creators going, oh, okay, they're never going to want to play with me. So I didn't even try and attempt to shoot my shot with them. So decided not to. And it wasn't until like the Wednesday after the actual events that I ended up going out to a cafe with a few of them, finding out that these top tier creators didn't end up playing that much because they didn't really get approached and talked to. They worked with a few of the people they already knew, but turns out they didn't actually work that much. And I'm like, if I'd known that, I would have actually
asked.
I should have had a go. Because it turns out that, that I ended up saying to one of them, well, I really like your vibe and I would love to work with you sometime. And he's like, yes, absolutely. And I'm like, oh, if I'd known that, and if it wasn't, you know, if you weren't leaving for the airport in an hour, then I would have said, let's go and do something. So that's something I guess I would say to all the creators out there is that shoot your shot. Worst they can say is, look, I'm sorry, but you're not my type. Or I'm sorry, but you're not going to fit my brand. You know, if they're going to say, no, then that's a bridge they're going to burn forever.
That's toxic.
Never burn those bridges. So, you know, always be open because they're also doing you a favor as well. As Ray Dalton said, they are doing you a favor too because, as in you are doing them a favor, I should say. You are giving them content creation. You are adding your own source to theirs, literally, figuratively, and, you know, metaphorically as well. So don't be afraid to actually go up to those people. And there's also people that ended up, apparently they had the same thing with me. They were like people who were just starting going, I can't believe you're talking to me. And I'm like, but, well, it's all about getting it forward, really. I've actually worked with quite a few people that have just started their content creation, and it's all about, you know, again, sharing the best practice. It's not pie. There is room for everyone.
Yes.
So, you know, if you want to do it, you can do it, and I'm happy to work with new creators. And what I would say is bring your element to it. So that's the thing, is I have my own sauce, I have my own soup, whatever you, jambalaya, whatever you want to call it. I want you to bring your ingredients to the pile. So otherwise, it's always going to be bland for me.
To the man's soup.
Yeah. Of course, people who want to see my stuff are going to want to see Bri. But then they're also going to want to see Bri with chips. They want to see Bri with gravy. You know, they want to see all that. Bri is a bottom. Exactly. So that's the thing I guess I would say without of all of it is that, you know, even though they look like a top tier creator, it doesn't mean that, you know, they're completely sexable. It means they're approachable as well. And I ended up having another guy that also was what I consider the top level. He was absolutely joy to work with. He was absolutely, well, not to work, I didn't have to work with him, but he was nice enough to come up to you, go, oh my God, hello, how are you? And actually remember you.
Yeah.
And that sort of stuff. And that made me feel absolutely amazing.
So tell me, what were your favorite parts of the conference?
Favorite parts? In life,
the nipples.
The nipples are the eyes of the face.
They are mine. They're hardwired, as you know, Bri.
I do.
All too well.
Very hard.
Indeed. Favorite part. So in life in general, I would consider myself a collaborative person. So I much prefer working with lots of people. So therefore, my favorite part was actually meeting all these lovely people. Is that if we didn't end up fucking, I still would have been happy. I would have happy to make connections with people. That's what I was all about. So I was very much happy meeting all these lovely people. I would consider that to be my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. So were you surprised at all that people genuinely were lovely?
Yeah. I think so in general.
You expected egos.
There was a little bit of, as I said, in the warehouse party, there was a little bit of my own imposter syndrome that I had.
Yes.
But overall, everyone was actually, you know, quite nice.
Mm.
In true gay form and in life in general, there was personalities, there was cliques. Like the meet and greet party probably was a good example where there was a little bit of clique. There was like the top tiers because they already kind of knew each other. They were sort of hanging around each other. There was the newbies that were like awkward and nervous. They were sort of hanging around each other. And then there were sort of people in between going back and forth.
Right.
So I guess that gave you an indication. But once the warehouse party happened, then everyone kind of just sort of started playing with each other.
Yeah.
Of course, like any sort of, you know, any orgy really, it is all about consent. It is all about making sure there is compatibility. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing wrong with you know, politely saying no to people. It always needs to be an enthusiastic yes or a polite no is what I would say.
Yep.
And that's the same with an orgy. That's the same with a sex party. That's the same with a filmed sex party. So that's something we need to make sure that, you know, consent is mandatory on top of that too.
Yes.
And there was plenty of people at the Just for Fans party that were not compatible with me, that I may not have been interested in and vice versa.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Indeed. And who are some of the people that you met who really made an impact with you? Not necessarily in the sack, but Maybe they said something and just thought, wow, I hadn't have thought about that before.
Yeah. I would probably say Ray Dalton's saying of just saying, show your personality.
Yeah.
And is one of the main impacts that I got out of this is I, for maybe about 6 months, I went through a bit of an identity crisis of like, who is Down Under Bri? What is his angle? What is it all about? And it has come to my realization, and this really cemented it, that I am just me.
Yep.
And if people don't like it, that's okay. Just be yourself and people will warm to you is what I can say is bring your own personality, bring your own source to the mix. And the people who you really want to support you will support you.
Did you find that initially when you started out that you were trying to be something that you thought others wanted you to be?
Yes. I was too busy concerned about fitting some sort of niche or genre or something like that.
Right.
And now I'm at the point where I can do whatever I want. I don't have to be this daddy that people want me to be. I don't have to be this boy, this twunk, this label. I can just be Bri, and that's me, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with anyone who wants to start out. You can be yourself. If you want to be a personality, that's fine.
Yes.
But bringing your own genuine personality is probably what will warm people most.
Awesome. And now that we've gotten into the advice section.
Yes.
Like, what did you learn from some of the other people there who you think you can add into your content creator game?
Look, the main thing I learned actually from a content creator point of view is no matter what level you're at, you're going to have the same struggles. That's a reality as well, is that making one of these people that had 300, 400,000 followers on Twitter, he was literally struggling with talking to another content creator about, he wasn't sure about whether this guy was going to film with him or not. They were unsure about it. It's like, for me, that's a dead ringer. That's a business decision where I'd be like, yes, you should be filming with this person that has 300,000 followers.
Mm.
Whereas this guy was like just starting out and he was like, I don't know if I should be filming. It's like, well, why not? I guess is what I see. That happens with
me. And
you have flakes, you have people that cancel, you have, that sort of stuff. You have things that just don't work out. It doesn't matter what level you're at.
Yes.
It's going to happen, you know? So that's, I guess, maybe a reality check of understanding that no matter where you are, you're going to have those same struggles.
Were there any parts of the conference where they were talking about, you know, future content creation? Because I know quite a few content creators are using artificial intelligence to respond to fans and that sort of thing to make sure that their name stays up in people's, you know, searches and whatnot.
Yep.
Were there any conversations around that and whether that's something that is becoming, say, best practice?
Unfortunately not. I guess there was only so many panels that they could do at the time there. But that's something that we could definitely give feedback and say that might be something we want to touch on next year.
Yeah.
I know that I gave feedback on specific panels that I was looking, that I would love to do next year as well. But unfortunately nothing future proofing, I guess.
Yep.
But I do know that that's probably one of the reasons why Dominic is going to be creating this new product is to actually help be more relevant and current is what he was going for as well. But it's a very good question of understanding AI and where that's going to impact us as content creators. So it's definitely something I should give feedback to Dominic. And that's something I can literally do now, being part of the chat groups, the Telegram group that we have. That's going to be staying open for us. And we can provide feedback directly to Dominic now to say, hey, have you thought about doing this?
Is that something that you would use?
AI? I'd say,
like ChatGPT or those kind of things.
It does open you up. I guess it works potentially for people that have too many followers, too many subscribers
to manage. To respond to everyone.
You know, that's where I guess the next stage, like I'm not at that stage at the moment where I can't handle messages coming in.
Yeah.
But there are people that have, hundreds and thousands of subscribers that have messages coming in all the time. That's why there are literally people that are now employed to respond on behalf of models as well. You have that. I've yet to reach that point.
And with your networking with some of the other content creators that were there or through the WhatsApp group, were there any trends coming out of what people were interested in and things that they want to know more about?
Ooh. If honest, not really that I've seen. Again, because maybe I was focusing on my own French vanilla genre, I didn't really see many trends. I think what a lot of people got out of the Just for Fans conference was like group scenes and orgies, etc. So there was definitely what that came out of was the group scenes. And this would have been a perfect place to do it. And I think that's where at the moment there's a lot of trending orgies happening from Just the Fans.
Yeah.
Like I think I was involved with, yeah, I think a couple of foursomes and plus the warehouse party as well. So I think that's probably what's going to be trending over the next few months will be the more group action happening as well. As for specific fetishes, probably not. I didn't really see any major fetishes coming through, yeah, apart from finding out about this farting thing as well.
Fascinating.
But I did find that I think my own personal trend ended up being lifting all these people up. So I ended up getting to the point where I think three or four people ended up lift fucking people, where you pick them up and, you know, you're fucking them against a wall, or you're sort of literally like holding them as they're bouncing on your cock.
Assuming these are twinks and not 120 kilo.
Thankfully I'm not that at that point. Yeah.
I would totally be down with saying that if that was actually not going to throw you back out, because it's just like
thankfully
these were
twins.
I would like to see that.
Yeah. So look, I mean, once I get all the footage of those, I'm definitely going to be doing some kind of like comparison montage to show people that seemed to be my fuck du jour for the event.
Do you think this has opened it up, Butterbumps, for more bookings in the US?
I'd like to hope so. So creatively, completely successful for me.
Yes.
But from an investment point of view, financially, I guess we'll find out. Mm. In an ideal situation is that I get more subscribers from the US or subscribers from overseas that are wanting to see more, for me to then feed the beast, to be able to actually then fund more trips overseas.
Yes.
It's also the reason why I want to make sure that I get a good tax accountant to find out of what I actually can write off, because this is the new juggernaut of taxes is indeed content creators.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I guess, if you're an accountant out there, if you can, I know it's pretty much a small business, right?
Yes.
Pretty much a self-funding small business type situation, sole trader, those sort of things. That is the next evolution of content creation, of making sure you get your tax right to find out what you can write off. So, if I do go and, end up fucking in a hotel and put it on my paid subscription pages, can I write that hotel off?
Yeah.
Those sort of things, I guess, is where I'm wanting to get to.
And materials, presumably.
Exactly right. There's so many things. I know that one of my good friends sent me a list of ATO website that actually has all the actual what you can and can't claim as an adult worker. And I'm hoping there's something for content creation as well. So look, in an ideal situation this time next year, I'm looking back at this podcast and I'm going, hey, I've got, four times the amount of followers on Twitter. I've got four times the amount of subscribers. So therefore I can actually self-fund this actual trip for the next Just for Fans conference. So that's in an ideal situation.
That's wonderful. Well, it has been a pleasure having you here on Hide and Seek, Bri.
Thank you for having me.
And we will put all of the links to Bri's socials and so on onto the podcast page for this episode. Just go to joy.org.au/hideandseek. And if you'd like to contribute anything to the conversation, just shoot us a message at hideandseek@joy.org.au.
And you can catch Down Under Bri on all of the handles, all of the platforms Down Under Bri, right?
Exactly right. It's all about branding, really, isn't it? You've got to make sure you have it all the same everywhere.
Well, we'll catch you next time here on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. See you later.
Do you want more?
Yes! Yes! Oh! Yes! Yes! Oh!
Catch all the Hide and Seek episodes on podcast at joy.org.au/hideandseek.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.